pray that by now that you have noticed the beautiful red pyramids that are on our pulpit. We want to thank Terry Lacey for helping us acquire these. These have been acquired in honor and memory. First of all, in memory of those who have served in our choir, who are no longer with us and have gone on to be with Jesus. Those choir directors, those musicians, those singers in the choir. As we look around, we can think of where they sat, which chair they were in, and the part that they sang. Those who are presently still with us but not active in the choir. And as I look around and see those individuals, you're welcome back anytime, Freddie. You're welcome back anytime. And if we had you up here, we would have to be sitting where Matt is, and we'd have to find Matt a new place to sit. But he could handle it. He's flexible. We also want to honor those that are presently in our choir. Those future members of our choir that are sitting out here. Those who have been narrators. Our wonderful musicians. And certainly our wonderful choir leader. These are in honor of all who have ever participated in the music ministry in this church. And if you would like to make a contribution, it was my wild idea to do this. Some others went along with me. If you'd like to make a contribution toward the payment of it, Brenda and I would be very appreciative. Seriously. Our song today is Precious Holy Lamb. This choir has had many precious holy lambs go through it. And there are a couple that are still in it. Praise God. Thank Him for our music ministry at this church.
much. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moments. You want to help hand these out? Do you want to help hand these out? We'll do the bag first, and then we'll do that. Awesome. You got the bag? All right. Franklin's got our bag for us this morning. Let's remember the rules of the bag. It cannot be alive. It cannot have ever been alive. And if I don't know what it is, you have to tell me what it is, right? All right, so here we go. Oh, my. It's a big old blue snake. This is the wrong denomination to bring this in. No, I'm just... Well, yes, it is fake. It is fake. Yeah, you go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, y'all come and pet the snake, all right? All right. No, it's fake. All right. There is a story in Exodus where the Israelites forget to worship God. And all of these snakes start coming and start biting people. And God tells Moses to have somebody construct a pole with a snake on it. And when the people look at the pole with the snake on it, they'll be healed. And they won't be sick anymore. Crazy, huh? And they're reminded by that they are to worship God. Can we think of any other stories in the Bible that have snakes or serpents in it? No? Page one? Yeah, right there in the beginning? That's right. Adam and Eve in the garden, and the snake told them they should do something, and they knew they weren't supposed to do it, but they did it anyway. So we have a lot of different images of the snake throughout Scripture in positive and negative ways. And just like the snake, if we're willing, we can be used in positive and negative ways. If we're willing to follow God and do what He wants, everything will work out, and we'll be using the gifts God has given us in positive ways. But if we don't, we'll be doing things that probably we shouldn't be doing, right? So I want us to be mindful of that today. Now, Miss Vicky has a bag for us with some streamers. Today is Pentecost, and we read about Pentecost earlier. Miss Vicky's going to bring those streamers over, and we're going to have fun going around the church real quick. Here, you can have your snake back. All right. All right, everyone grab you some streamers here. All right, everyone get one? Can we get some more? Does everyone have one? Yeah, how many do you have? Do you have more than one?
I don't know.
Yeah, there we go. Here you go. There you go. You can have that one. We got another one right here. Oh, watch out. Watch out. All right, we're working right. We're chaotic right now. That's good. All right, you all follow me, and we're going to walk around the sanctuary, and we're going to let the flames dance, all right? So come with me. Y'all following me? Single file. Let's have some order to this chaos. All right. We'll shake them. Come on now. All right. Now don't catch anyone on fire, all right? So be very careful. Oh, sorry. Whoops. Yeah, I know. Burned the hair right off his head, ladies and gentlemen. Crazy. I just repeated what he said, so. All right. Was that fun?
I could even see.
Yes. All right. Now, okay. Thank you, Joel. Now, Franklin, who do you want to have the bag? We want to give it to somebody that hasn't had it in a while or hasn't had it very often. Are you going to be here next week? Yeah, maybe, kind of. All right, here you go. You can put whatever you want in it, and we'll have our lesson based on that next week. All right, we're going to pray, and then you all go as quietly as these fiery streamers will allow you back downstairs, all right? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace, for this day of celebration, for your Holy Spirit amongst us. We thank you for these kids and for what they teach us and for what we are able to teach them, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can follow Miss Vicky downstairs. Joel, pick up your fire. Yeah, thanks. Fire marshal isn't here today, are you? Okay, good. We're good to go then. All right. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3 through 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 3 through 13. As we have mentioned several times today, it is Pentecost, and we want to hear what Paul tells us about the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 3 through 13, hear now the word of our Lord. So I want to make it clear to you that no one says Jesus is cursed when speaking by God's Spirit, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries and the same Lord, and there are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person, a word of knowledge to another according to the same Spirit, faith to still another by the same Spirit, gifts of healing to another in the one Spirit, performance of miracles to another, prophecy to another, the ability to tell spirits apart to another, different kind of tongues to another, and the interpretation of the tongues to another. All these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what he wants to each person. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit. It has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free, and we all were given one Spirit to drink. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you again for this day, for the opportunity we have to hear your word read. We pray that the words you have given me this day would be yours and not mine, that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Today we have the opportunity to gather around the table. Not only is it Pentecost, but it is the first Sunday of the month, and we surround this banquet table that is set before us, this sacrament of Holy Communion. And as we gather around this table today, we celebrate the unity and the variety found only in the Holy Spirit. Today we are reminded that we have been baptized by one Spirit and that we are given one Spirit to drink, as Paul speaks of in verse 13 here. The sacraments indeed remind us of the Holy Spirit. They cause us to pause and to reflect not just on the sacrifice of Christ, not just on the Father sending his Son, but on the Holy Spirit who continues to be with us and guide us each and every day. For all of the complexity that we often associate with the Holy Spirit, he's really quite simple. He really is not at all as confusing as we tend to make him out to be. The Holy Spirit is God. And while that has an infinite number of mysterious possibilities and complexities to it, we can at least understand the Holy Spirit in that way, as God. The Holy Spirit gives gifts. We've seen that here in this passage. He is a gift giver. And the Holy Spirit expects us to use our gifts for the common good. And I can't help but wonder this morning if we use the Holy Spirit's enigmatic traits to keep us from realizing the simplicity of the message he calls us to share with the world. Could it be that the reason we don't share our faith with others is that we don't understand all about what our faith implies? And we allow that to keep us from venturing forth to share this good news with those around us. The Holy Spirit calls us to unity within our variety. He calls us to be a unique people and uniquely made and created. He seeks to unify His church, His body, by giving us the freedom to express our faith in an infinite number of ways. One Spirit indeed fits all. Have you ever maybe been up late and they've got the commercials on the TV that are selling things? One size fits all. This is all you need. Everything will work out. And maybe you've been smart enough to purchase that item and it doesn't fit like they say. Anyone ever? I cannot be the only one who's ever done that. Or maybe I am, and I'll use another analogy later. So one size does not always fit all, but with the Holy Spirit, it fits. What He gives us fits. We just have to learn how to see it. He is Spirit, He is Lord, He is God, as Paul says. And today I want us simply to bask in the wonder that is the Holy Spirit, in hopes that the mystery of the Holy Spirit will be something that we seek to embrace, rather than something we shy away from, or something we are intimidated by. As I mentioned before, the Holy Spirit is God. That's about as simple as we can make it. And He continues to reveal to us the fullness of the Father and the Son. That's the great thing about God as we understand Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He never says anything different. The Spirit shares with us what we've heard from Jesus, what we've seen in the Old Testament. He doesn't say anything new or anything that completely contradicts what we've seen before. He continues to share the same message. Often we are confused, as I've mentioned, by the Holy Spirit, and I want to share with you the best description I have ever heard of the Holy Spirit in hopes that, again, it will help us to understand Him a little better. The best description I've ever heard is that the Holy Spirit is the love of the Father and the Son personified. The Father and the Son's love for each other is so great that it takes form and shape and is the Holy Spirit as we understand Him. Does that make sense? Does that maybe help a little? The love of the Father and the Son personified. And the love of the Father and the Son is so great that they cannot help but pour out the Holy Spirit, their love, upon each and every one of us and invite us to the celebration. Invite us to join in this dance, in this party that they have constructed. If you love God this morning, it is because the Holy Spirit is present in your life. He tells us here in verse 3 that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And it seems like such a simple phrase, Jesus is Lord. And indeed, it is the most basic statement we as Christians can make. And not only is it the most basic, but it is the most profound. Jesus is Lord. And by His Holy Spirit, we understand that. We grasp it by faith. As God, the Holy Spirit simply invites us to love. He invites us to love God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He invites us to love our neighbors. He invites us to love our enemies. And He invites us to love the world, His created order. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit also gives us gifts, and He expects us to gratefully receive these gifts. We see in verse 7 that a demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person. How many of you in here today is a person? Oh, thank goodness. All right, we're awake. That means the Holy Spirit has a gift for you. That means you are gifted. I don't want to hear this, well, Pastor, I don't have any gifts. Stop it. That just means you don't want to do anything. The Holy Spirit, you're laughing. I know who you are now. The Holy Spirit gives each of us gifts. There are 9 gifts that are mentioned here. This is not an exhaustive list. It is not a comprehensive list. There are other gifts to be given, and these certainly reflect most, I would say, of those gifts. But every one of us in here today possesses one or more of these gifts. You do, whether you like it or not. The Holy Spirit doesn't give to some at the exclusion of others. He gives to us all because He loves us all. Ours is the task of seeing these gifts and graciously accepting these gifts. Now let's be honest this morning. It's a lot easier to give a gift than it is to accept a gift, isn't it? I know, I'm getting a few weird looks. Just go with me on this one. It's a lot easier to give than to get. And the reason for that is giving means you are in control of the situation. You have chosen the gift. You have chosen who will receive the gift. You have chosen how much you will spend or what you will do for this. You have made all of the decisions, and then you have decided when you will give this gift, right? And what do we love more than control? Maybe cake, but that's about it. We love control. Receiving, on the other hand, implies trust, right? It does. You have to trust that whatever this person is giving you is something that you need or something that you could use. And this morning, you cannot truly give a gift until you have truly learned how to receive a gift. I think too many of us refuse to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Or worse, we refuse to use our gifts because we want someone else's gift. Well, God, I'm grateful for this, but I really wanted that over there. The Holy Spirit is the one who chooses what we get. The Holy Spirit fits us with the gifts that we need and that best complement who we are and who He has created us to be. This morning, we are supposed to trust the Holy Spirit. And when we trust Him, our gift will fit. And you will not just like the gift that you have received, but you will learn to love the gift that you have received. Have any of us this morning ever gotten a gift that we didn't really like? Not from my wife, but from other people. Everything she gives me is gold. All right. We've received gifts from time to time that we didn't like. I can think of about 5 or 6 gifts that I've received in my lifetime that are my favorite gifts. All right, and we've got that list too. But this one particular gift that I got one year, I don't remember if it was birthday or Christmas, my mom got it for me. It's not this one exactly, but it's like this. Do y'all know what this is? Apple slicer, apple cutter. I'll never forget, I was a bachelor, this was long before I met Abby. I'm a huge fan of fruit and certainly apples. And I opened up a gift, and this was in it, and my mom was all excited. I didn't have the heart to tell her this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. I didn't even know what it was when I first got it. I was like, what in the world is this? This is some kind of metallic dream catcher. I had no idea what it was. And she told me what it was, and I was like, oh, that's great. Thank you so much. Insert fake smile here, you know, and this, that, or the other. And it was a couple days later after she had left, I was going to get an apple, and I picked it up. It's brilliant. It's the most brilliant thing I've ever seen. This is one of the greatest gifts I've ever gotten. At the time, I thought this was stupid. Why would you give me this? And it didn't even dawn on me when I opened it and saw it that apples are my favorite fruit. It didn't dawn on me that my mom had really keyed in on who I was and what I would like, and she got this for me, and I haven't told her that I didn't like it to begin with, so please, your silence is mandatory at this point. But it's one of the favorite gifts I've ever gotten. And this is, the one she got me is old and used and worn, and it probably broke at some point. And I still ate the apple anyway. But it was one of those gifts that at first I was like, what in the world? Why this? And now it's one of those things that I absolutely love. And the Holy Spirit's gifts can tend to be like that. Why have you given me this gift? This is stupid. But then as you start to give it time, maybe you use it once and you're like, oh, that was kind of nice. Maybe you learn how to use it and you perfect how to use it. If anyone needs, I can assembly line this bad boy. I've gotten a lot of use out of this. The gifts that we are given, we may not like them initially, but they have been paired with us by the Holy Spirit, who knows what we need, who is tuned in to who we are. After we've accepted the gifts that we have been given, again, I think a difficult work, accepting the gift, the Holy Spirit then expects us to use that gift. These gifts aren't to be hoarded. They're not to be stored. I mean, what good would this be if I didn't use it, right? They're to be used. And they're to be used for the common good, as he tells us here in verse 7. And this is where I think we tend to get a little frustrated with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit expects, you want me to do what now? You want me to use this? In front of people. Just anybody who could judge me or think this is strange or odd. You want me to do what now? And that frustrates us because the Holy Spirit expects us to do something with it. In order to use what we have been given, we have to go, as Jesus tells us. We have to trust, as the Holy Spirit expects of us. And we have to believe, as the Father has created us. These things are absolutely necessary in order for us to be the people that we have been created to be. And let's remember this morning that the gifts we are given are not for us. They're for the common good. And so if you're not using your gift, who are you hurting? Me. The people sitting next to you. Everyone in this room. That's who you are negatively affecting by refusing to use your gifts. They are to be used for the common good. If I didn't wax and wane eloquent every week, what good would my gift of preaching be? Yes, I have a gift of preaching. Right? It would do no good. Abby would just hear me mumbling and talking. She hears enough of that anyway. May the Holy Spirit this morning pour over us today. May we open our eyes, our hands, our hearts to receive the gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. And may we use those gifts for the common good. May we love. May we receive. May we give as the Holy Spirit us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you have given to us, for your good gifts that are new and that are exciting. Lord, help us to see them for what they are. Help us to desire to use what you have given to us. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.